This podcast is a production of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Welcome to Tech Talk, a San Francisco Chronicle podcast on technology. This week, we talk to executives of a new casual gaming company. CNET reviews top graphics cards, and David Einstein helps keep you on time. Hello, everyone. It's Monday, February 26, 2007, and I'm Benny Evangelista, along with Ellen Lee. We're talking to two executives from a Mountain View company called NeoEdge Networks, which started out 4 years ago as an enterprise software company, but now is about to launch a new casual game service. Let's start by having you introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Vic Mahadevan. I'm the CEO of NeoEdge, and I'm delighted to be here with Benny and Ellen.
Hello, I'm Srikant Desikan. I'm the Vice President of Marketing for NeoEdge Networks, and I'm glad to be here.
So why don't you tell our listeners exactly what you'll be launching today?
Well, NeoEdge is really at a very exciting time in the market because we fundamentally believe that we can offer the ability for consumers to play free games that are ad-supported. And these are the most popular games available that you can download onto your PC and play for an unlimited period of time, either online while connected to the internet or offline if you're traveling or, you know, playing anywhere else.
What kind of demand is there for these games?
We see a worldwide demand for these games, Ellen. Our feedback from the consumers is they want the ability to play these games for as long as they want without ever being cut off. So we see this on a worldwide basis in North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific. And the advertising needs to be such that it doesn't take away from the gaming experience.
It's kind of interesting that, the whole statistic on games that are played on a PC versus consoles. We have found through our research over the last 6 to 8 months that the amount of time that women especially spend time playing PC games is so much that the advertisers can no longer afford to ignore it. It's almost like watching television now. And that's kind of the demand that we're after. It's less about game sales and more about utilizing game hours that women play and utilizing that to serve advertising and monetizing them.
Ellen plays a lot of games like that.
Not at work, though.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. Not at work.
We work
Phil.
Actually, some of the games I play, though, they already have advertising on the website, or you pay a subscription fee to be able to download those games. How is your service going to be different?
Well, ours is quite a bit different because the advertising that you see on the web is actually when you're playing those games on the web. But we allow you to download those games onto your, you know, PC or laptop and then serve up the pre-roll ads, interstitial ads, which are ads between levels of difficulty, and post-roll ads so that you can play those games whether you're connected or disconnected from the web. And these are all high-quality, high-CPM video ads, which then are very beneficial for the publisher because they get a cut of that revenue. And the advertisers are delighted to chase the female demographic 20+, which in North America alone is 40 million female gamers playing casual games.
If you look at gaming as a form of programming, very similar to broadcast television, right? Commercials have been around for a long time. And what we're trying to do is pretty much the same thing. So in the arena of programming for casual games, we're trying to introduce advertising as a way by which publishers can gain significant revenue. And consumers don't get put off because these are advertisements that are high-quality video ads that are relevant to the consumer.
What kind of ads? Are they going to be like car ads or animated ads or live ads?
These are 8 to 15-second video commercials, just as you would see on TV. Some of them have a combination of interactive advertising, meaning that if you're playing a game for 60 minutes, and if you see four different advertisements over the period of 60 minutes, they may all be related as a storyboard. So you may have a first video ad and then followed up with more detail on the product. It may be an automobile. It may be something related to women's apparel. It could be pretty much focused on the demographic that we're targeting. And then it may end up with an ad that's a call to action, saying, go to this website if you want to find out more and register. So we give the advertisers and the publishers a compelling value proposition because it combines the form of video and interactive ads.
Are there particular advertisers you've begun to work with?
Yes, we have been working with a number of advertisers. We would like to disclose that once we release. We have to get permission from them on releasing those names, and that will happen shortly. But our focus has been to work with direct brand advertisers as well as ad networks who also work with advertisers that they bring to our site. But these are all high-quality video ads. We're not doing any kind of banner advertising because we feel that'll take away from the gaming experience for the consumer.
To back up a little bit, starting today, if you go to neoedge.com, you can download a game. What kind of games are you going to be able to find?
Well, the actual site you'll be going to, Benny, is mostfun.com.
Mostfun.com.
So we have a number of publishers that you'll see games from, people like PlayFirst, Blockdot, eGames. And these are all very, very popular games that you can download and play. But more importantly, because of our unique technology, once you like a particular type of game, like say you like a strategy game, Benny, and Ellen likes a puzzle game, we can actually, using our technology, push the next 5 puzzle games or strategy games ready and waiting for you so that you don't even have to download it. It's already queued up for you to play with. So the ability to have an instant on experience and a very easy to use experience leveraging our technology is a key differentiator for NeoEdge.
So the games come along with the player you
yes.
download?
So the way it works is there is a game player, which we call the most fun game player. And once you download the game player, you have a catalog of games that are available for download. And as Vic mentioned before, these are not like the traditional web-based download where you download something and you have an 8-step click, click, click process, right? This is very simple. You say get it, and it's downloaded, and you can play it immediately. You also have, very similar to iTunes, you have a My Library where everything that you get downloaded is stored in a central repository, and you have access to go and play it anytime, whether you're online or offline.
And I'm going to assume the advertising is refreshed regularly?
Yes, it's dynamically advertised, refreshed for the consumer. So we personalize it and target it depending on the demographic and the location and the geography of the user.
Yeah, the ads are pushed just when it's needed. So based on the campaigns that we run for different advertisers, people may see different ads at different points in the day. Different people in different locations may see different ads.
Sounds like you're going to have to register. I mean, you have to have some kind of demographic information to know who you're pushing these games to.
Well, that's a great question. One of the things that we have differentiated ourselves on is we want to make it easy for the consumer to start playing. So to that extent, we don't require registration. So you can immediately download it. You can start playing. You can tell your friends without ever having to give any information. Now, our goal is not to understand you as a personalized consumer. Our goal is to aggregate the interests that you have. So over a week, you may download and play 4 or 5 games. And that will tell us, in terms of what your interests are, what your proclivity is for a certain category of games. And we use that for selling the ads to the advertisers. Over time, optionally, you can register, but it's not a requirement.
Do you see yourself licensing this technology to other places? Or I'm just thinking about people who go already to a lot of the portals, say like Yahoo or MSM to find games. How will they instead go to, are you hoping they will move from there to your site? Or?
Well, we are driving a lot of traffic to our site through, we believe there's a major opportunity to work with the social networking sites that already have a lot of traffic that are female oriented, people like say glam.com or iVillage. That we're going to be approaching. So that'll give them an opportunity to monetize even more hours of gameplay and retain their user base who already have an interest to play these casual games. So we fundamentally are going to drive a lot more traffic to the mostfun.com site through affiliate partnerships and other kind of syndication partnerships.
And are you going to enable things like, say, there's some services that allow you to chat with other players or to connect and play these games against other players? Is that possible?
Definitely. So in the next 4 weeks, we're coming out with a lot of community features. Now, casual games, based on our research, a lot of people play it independently, unlike core games where there's a lot of collaborative play. But at the same time, we believe community is an important part of the whole experience. So we are introducing elements like chat and being able to find out what your friends are playing and a bunch of community features over the next 4 weeks.
Are you going to enable people who have blogs and spaces on MySpace and everything to post a game or to tell people about the games?
So part of the value proposition for consumers and for publishers is, the more places that most fun can be found, the better it is for everybody, right? So given that, we have a way by which we can put a snippet of Most Fun on blogs, on websites, on other game portals pretty easily through using just a simple script.
Mm-hmm.
And
a script you can cut and paste and put on there?
Script you correct. Can cut and paste.
Kind of like the videos you can put on
exactly.
your blogs now.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Our mantra is simple. Free is the new paid.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for coming.
That site, again, is mostfun.com. Up next, if you're a serious hardcore gamer, you'll be interested in this week's review from CNET's senior editor, Rich Brown.
Hi, I'm Rich Brown, senior editor for CNET.com. Today I'm going to talk about the editor's choice winning NVIDIA GeForce 8800 GTX graphics card. The GeForce 8800 GTX is one of the most recent 3D graphics chips from NVIDIA. Cards that use this chip will run you about $600, so it's definitely not cheap. But if you pair one of these cards with a fast PC, you'll be able to play any game on the market with very high image quality and at a smoother frame rate than any other 3D card available. That's largely why we gave it our Editor's Choice Award. What could be even more exciting is that this card will also play upcoming games designed for Windows Vista. No other line of graphics cards can do that right now. What we like most about the GeForce 8800 GTX is that even though it's expensive, it actually offers great bang for the buck. Sarju Shah over at our sister site GameSpot was kind enough to share his 3D test results. He found that not only is the GeForce 8800 GTX faster than any single card available today, on some tests it was also faster than two competing ATI cards running in one PC, which ATI calls its crossfire mode. NVIDIA has its own dual card technology called SLI, or Scalable Link Interface. The GeForce 8800 GTX does have SLI support, but it only works right now in Windows XP. The Vista software for SLI isn't quite there yet, although we know that NVIDIA is working on it. ATI is expected to release its own next-gen cards in May, so NVIDIA won't have a Vista graphics monopoly for long. But with no true next-gen PC games available yet, we really can't comment on what that performance will look like from any vendor. Finally, if the $600 price tag seems too daunting, you can always pick up one of the lower-end models. Along with the 8800 GTX, NVIDIA also introduced a chip called the GeForce 8800 GTS. You'll find a few variations of cards with that chip, ranging in price from about $300 to $450. Some run a little faster than others, some have more memory. None of them will be quite as fast as the 8800 GTX, but all the chips in NVIDIA's GeForce 8000 series offer strong performance on current games, and they all promise support for the next-gen titles coming out soon. If you're not in a hurry to buy a new 3D card, it might be worth it to see what ATI has to show in a few months. But if we were in the market for a 3D card right now, the GeForce 8800 GTX is the best product available. Again, I'm Rich Brown for CNET.com.
Next, here's Chronicle Computing Q&A columnist David Einstein with tips for solving that upcoming daylight savings time dilemma.
One of the nicest things about Microsoft Windows is that it automatically switches to and from daylight saving time. At least it used to. Now that daylight saving time is changing, Windows XP users have a problem on their hands. Fortunately, Microsoft has released a software update that rectifies the situation. If your computer is configured to accept automatic Windows updates, the fix probably already has been installed. If you don't have automatic updating enabled, go to Microsoft.com where you'll see a link to daylight saving time updates. You'll need to download the update for Windows, and if you use Outlook for your calendar and schedule, Microsoft has a fix for that as well. By the way, Vista, the new iteration of Windows, will change the time on the correct days. Of course, you could always just reset your computer clock to accommodate daylight saving time. You can access the clock to reset it by double-clicking the time at the lower right-hand corner of your Windows screen. For Tech Talk, this is Dave Einstein.
And that's it for this edition of Tech Talk. We, of course, have more podcasts available at sfgate.com/podcasts, including a new one by Chronicle TV critic Tim Goodman. For the San Francisco Chronicle, I'm Benny Evangelista. Thanks for listening.